Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. This week, I want to talk about physical, mental, emotional, and social well-being for ourselves as adults and the kids in our lives. There are so many ways that we can engage the kids in our lives and ourselves to build, our physical, mental, and emotional or social well-being. Now, you're probably already anticipating my answer. The way we can enforce these aspects of our well-being and the well-being of the children in our lives is with more play and exploration. And I'm going to talk about some of the ways that we can achieve this. I always used invitations when I was in the classroom as a teacher, and I do it now as a tutor. Invitations are a way to get kids to engage with different resources, different elements, or to engage in different experiences. One of my favorite themes to teach is animals and anything to do with animals. So whether we're talking about animals under the sea, which also branches out to animals that live in a river or a pond or a lake, that right there has so many invitations to play, learn, grow, and explore. You can simply offer sand and water and ask questions about who lives in bodies of water or where does sand come from? How is it created? What can you create with sand itself? And when you set things out for kids to physically engage in and ask thought-provoking questions, they get excited. They want to dive into the experience. They want to learn more. And they want to discover new information and get creative with the ways that they can use certain elements. So let's take the sand and water example. If you, in very measured ways, mix sand and water together, certain changes happen to the sand, allowing you to do certain things with them. Now, with the dry sand, you can experiment with what it feels like, with what it looks like, what colors they might be able to see in it. And then you can dive into where sand comes from, what it's made from. And you could even explore, is the sand around a lake different than the sand around the ocean or in a pond or in a river? So there's a lot of science going on there. There's a lot of play going on there. There's a lot of questioning and researching going on there. And this is the way that as a teacher, I liked to get kids excited to learn that might be apprehensive. And now as a tutor, I do the same thing. So one of the fun things that I like to get kids to do is build sandcastles. It's a lot of fun for adults too, just FYI. you can make different textures out of the sand that will behave differently in the building process. And that's a lot of science. Why didn't what I always call sugar sand take the shape of the bucket that we put it in trying to make a sandcastle? Why, when we put a lot of water in the sand, does the sand just kind of ooze out of the bucket when we're trying to build with it? What is just the right amount of water and sand to make it hold the shape of the bucket we put it in? Then you get kids excited to build the sandcastle, and they use different shapes, different sizes, different other nature elements. We used to use seashells and rocks and sticks and all kinds of things, tube grass, all kinds of things. And then they're engaging new skills by adding these things to their sandcastle, and simply by engaging in the act of building the sandcastle in the first place. And they don't even realize that they're learning things. They think they're just playing. But as they play, they're building new language. They're understanding new words. They're expressing new ideas. They're asking new questions. And so it's an all immersive experience. And that's why I enjoy sandcastles and diving into construction with sand itself. The water aspect is, I know that makes a lot of people have heart palpitations, but I promise it'll be okay. Kids love to play with water. They get excited to go to the beach and splash around in the water. They love puddles from the rain. Kids just love water. And as I said in the beginning, you can explore as a long-term project the things that live in a river versus the things that live in a lake versus the things that live in an ocean. And you can study the different animal species that kids show a particular interest in. You can study life cycles. You can study their eating habits. You can study how they move and how they communicate. All of these things get kids super excited to learn because they're playing and having fun with learning about lake life or ocean life or river life. And then they get excited to specifically learn about turtles and frogs and whales and fish and snails and snakes and all of these different things. And then you get to introduce one of my favorite things, which is seashells. Yes, I, as a grown adult, will sit on the beach at the lake and sift through the sand for hours to find different kinds of seashells and different kinds of rocks. It's soothing and it's fun, but then with the kids, you can talk about the different rocks that they find and where they come from. And in the case of granite and other rocks, what we use them for. This is just a little bit of an example of tying learning, play, and or exploration together as one experience. I have, over the years, used these kinds of ideas and invitations to learn about all kinds of things, from, as I've said, frogs and fish and all kinds of fun things. Sorry if I sound a little distracted. I'm looking around at all these very cool things that are going on around me, so I'm a little distracted. I apologize for that. But kids get excited to learn about things that they might not always get to experience on a regular basis. So when you can bring activity invitations to them, you spark their curiosity. And so you can do this with all kinds of fun things. We talked about the different bodies of water that you can introduce the learning experience tied to curiosity and play. One of the things that I like to go from what lives where is straight into other kinds of animals. So you could start a conversation asking the children about what their favorite animal is and where their favorite animal might live. Once you get into things like where your favorite animal might live, you can explore geography and habitats and weather and places around the world. And it can snowball, and before you know it, the kids are uber excited to learn and engage and explore. And that is the point of everything that I teach now as a tutor, is the aspects and process of getting kids re-engaged and excited in the learning process. So, depending on the section of the country or the part of the world that you live in, you could learn about the different species of bears and where do they live and why do they live where they live. You know, you have polar bears, you have black bears, you have grizzly bears. You have panda bears. All live in different places, all have different diets, all have different activity levels and reasons why they act the way that they do. So that is a very easy and engaging way to reignite kids' excitement to learn, which I'm sure has been very difficult to maintain throughout this very difficult year that we have lived through, trying to learn online. which only allowed kids to observe or absorb the information being given to them. There wasn't a lot of ability for kids to experience the information that was being given to them. And so using these kinds of experiences, kids will get to create activity-based learning that, in the case of things like bears and snakes and things that might not always be so safe to interact with in physical terms, they get to use play to engage or explore in very safe and controlled ways. I could teach on animals and the different animal species and habitats for an entire year. You and the kids in your lives probably won't want to focus in on one specific topic for that long. But you can ask questions about specific animals or sea life or lake life or river life with representation of the real life things that you're talking about. You could even go on an experience-based learning adventure. Sorry, I got distracted again. I was looking at this very odd-looking bee as I was in the middle of a sentence. And you could look for all kinds of interesting things that are found in nature that don't just have to be animals or reptiles or things like that. Going fishing is a learning and skill building experience that kids get to be involved in. It also teaches them patience. So if the kids in your life struggle with patience, taking them fishing might be a good learning experience for them. Or going on a nature hike. Or going on a nature hike, but tying a scavenger hunt into that nature hike. And cataloging or documenting all of the interesting things that you find. This is a fun way to see life in nature without disturbing it. So you might not want to touch a turtle in nature, but you could document it. You could take pictures that you can then later display. You could go walking through the woods and take pictures of deer you might find, or birds you might find, or insects like grasshoppers that you might find. Things, maybe even bees. All of these things offer deeper learning opportunities, because then you can ask questions about the things that you have documented, and you can go searching for the answers. You can then do experiments about the things you've seen and the questions that have been answered. I've talked about it quite a bit over the last few episodes, but doing things like documenting the different kinds of trees and what might live in those trees, Things like owls or squirrels, or there was another one that I wanted to give you and it went poof out of my brain. It'll come to me. But those are examples of animals that live in trees. And you can talk about the different ways that they make the trees their home and why. I've talked about the elements that some trees offer that can be turned into other things. Some trees give sap that can be turned into edible things, or that can be used for repurposing different materials. Perhaps you could have fun using sap from different kinds of trees as part of an art project. You could explore and experiment with making maple syrup and studying maple trees and where do they come from and how do they grow and all of those things. You could even get really gutsy and you could start a beehive or investigate a beehive or simply study the bees themselves and the job that they do and why each species of bee is different and how they go about contributing to the process of making honey. Yes, honey development is a process. That would be a fabulous long-term project that I think kids would get super duper excited about. Same thing with making maple syrup. Probably something you want to do with older kids, unless there is a lot of adult supervision for the heat element involved aspects of that process. So these are a few different ways that you can use invitations to learn, build new skills. And also shore up your and the kids in your lives' well-being, whether their physical well-being, their mental well-being, their emotional well-being, and in some aspects, their social well-being. We're becoming more social now, so it's a good way for kids to express their thoughts and their feelings and their needs when they can share with other people the things they've learned, which is mental, emotional, and social well-being, as they have gone through a physical exploration that reinforces their physical well-being. So we've spent a lot of time indoors more than we're used to over the last year, year and a half. And getting out to go on a scavenger hunt or a nature hike or a day at the beach or whatever your idea of a fun vacation is, that experience of exploring nature and learning new things and getting curious about things that kids have never thought about before, all are ways to reinforce our well-being. It's good for all of us to spend more time in nature, being creative, exploring, and learning as we do all of those things. So spending time outside is a good way to encourage kids to learn at their own pace and to test and expand their abilities while they're having fun in nature. So, I hope you were excited by these ideas and by the ideas of spending more time outside with the kids in your lives. There are so many other examples I could give, from flowers to, again, countless different kinds of animals, depending on where you're at. You could explore different types of weather. All of these things are fun, long-term projects that can be done and explored outside. You could even learn to cook outside together and come up with fun recipes. The idea is to get more involved, spend more time outside, get more active, and re-engage kids' curiosity and desire to explore, get curious, and ask questions. This is a form of learning that you don't necessarily get indoors in an indoor classroom. Most of that is observational learning. This is a fun way to get kids outside, get them physical, get them burning that physical, mental, and emotional energy that they've bottled up, and reintroduce the fun aspect of learning. So before I end this week's episode, I want to invite you to some virtual learning experiences that I am offering all year round, but I'm offering them through the summer because they will help you gain inspiration and ideas for ways that you can get kids in real life to explore and engage and get more active. So you can head on over to thecreativecampusonline.com and check out those opportunities. Every week, every Wednesday specifically, I get together with a group of evolving people online where we talk about ways that we can solve issues that the kids in our lives are facing and that we as adults are facing, especially during this time when our families are all together at home much more than they used to be. So I would encourage you to join me for that. That is free, but I have programs that are paid as well that are full of the kind of ideas that I shared with you today. So I would encourage you and kindly ask you to head on over and check that out. I would love to virtually get to meet you face to face and get to know more about you, as I hope you would want to get to know more about me and who I am and the person that you listen to each and every week. I want to thank you guys for joining me this week and every week that you come to join me. I hope you'll come back next time when I will dive into some more fun learning and skill building activities and experiences. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.